ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, August 27th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Tuesdays are for European conversations between Dwayne and I. Of course, tomorrow on Wednesday, we'll go back on the Montreal Impact and their front office cleanup. We'll also touch on Vancouver and Montreal in the new Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast that will come out later today. But first of all, how you doing today, Dwayne?
Doing well. Tuesdays are indeed for Europe, the European season off in full measure. Although the topic that we're going to dive into in our deep sort of main topic today is not the best of ones, although it is one that I've kind of been waiting to talk about for a week or so. It's an important topic to get into, and that, of course, is for those that are unaware, Bury and Bolton. And it looks like Bury Football Club, may in fact be dead. There's still an hour to try and scrape something together, but this isn't even Hail Mary time now. This is get to the church time.
At the 11th hour and 59 minute, pretty much. I feel bad for Bury and Bolton, and we'll just quickly mention the situation. Of course, financial troubles are forcing Bury to find a new owner, and if that takeover is not successful before 5 p.m. local time, 6 hours from now, the club will be expelled from League One, which they've been playing in. They were in League Two a couple years ago. So that's for Bury. Bury has been it's an old club. It's there since 1885, I believe. And it's one of the original club of the English Football League for Bury. For Bolton, a club that did see some success over the last few years. I remember them in the Championship and even in the Premier League not too long ago. Now facing financial trouble and could face expulsion from the league as well. And that would be the first time since 1992, Dwayne, that a team like Bury would be expelled from the league, the English Football League.
Maidstone was the last club to do it in 92. You're talking, that's the year the Premier League started. So it's been a long, long, long time since there's been a club completely ceased to exist. There have been other sort of situations that have come to be. I mean, most famously, we know Wimbledon moved to Milton Keynes and became MK Dons. And then that created the Phoenix Club. They called them Phoenix Clubs, like they're rising up from the ashes.
AFC Wimbledon with the Black Phoenix double-headed, which represents that ideology with AFC Wimbledon.
Exactly. And we've now, of course, seen Wimbledon race to the point which they actually surpassed MK Dons in the league pyramid last year, playing in a league above them. So certainly the Phoenix Clubs idea has been around for a while, but this is unfortunately, the first time we're going to see it in this capacity. It looks like with Bury, a small community just north of Manchester, about 50,000 people. I have a lot of empathy for this because it reminds me a lot of the hockey team I lost in a different circumstance. But nonetheless, it's very difficult for those who have never experienced the loss of a childhood team outright to understand. It's like someone dies. It really is. It feels like that.
It's a grief. It's a grief period. Seriously. And their five first games of the regular season has been postponed up until the first game would have been this Saturday versus Doncaster Rover at the stadium of Bury. And earlier this week, over 400 fans, and not even fans, 400 people from Bury were cleaning the stadium, buffering the seats just in case the salvage of the team was successful. The saving of the team was successful, so they could play their first game on Saturday. Local fans, people that don't even like football probably, got implicated because it means so much for the community. And for that community, I hope that in the next 51 minutes something happens. It's very last-ditch effort, and by the time we're talking to you tomorrow, we'll know more. But it looks like Bury will be no more in the English Football League. It might, like you mentioned, it might start again outside and make their way back into Football League under a different name and different things. But for Bury, for their logo, for their history, It's a shame. And, you know, I feel bad, Dwayne, because I discovered Bury only 2 years ago. It's been my FIFA club for the last 2 years. So a few months ago when I first started to hear that Bury was in trouble financially, I was like, oh, no, come on. I'm playing with you guys on FIFA. I just signed Piatti, Alfonso Davies, Jonathan David for Bury. Come on. You guys can make it through. And I really feel sad today because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to order my Bury kit really soon offline because it's kind of disappeared. It's not going to... That's sad. It was becoming my lower league team in England, no offense. And this is all because of FIFA. I've talked about this before. That's how I discovered Forest and Chelsea. But, yeah, I feel bad for Bury. And for Bolton, I have a feeling Bolton's going to be fine. I have a feeling Bolton's going to find an answer to that solution and find the money at the right time. But for Bury, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, Bolton's up against it too, but yeah, it does seem you hear a lot less about them because it does seem like because that is a brand that was in the Premier League not too long ago that people know and understand, and there seems to be...
3 years? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, not that long. I remember watching them play.
Yeah, Stu Holden, when he was with them. So you're not talking that long ago. Look, you mentioned, you know, they lose the logo, they lose the name, like they can't call themselves Bury Football Club anymore. I find this, look, as an outsider to the English system, I'm a very well-educated one in terms of it, but as an outsider, I always find this fascinating. Why do they have to lose those names? If this club is going under, then why can't they just reform at a lower level? And I've never understood this sort of rigid thinking when it comes to this. Yes, something needs to happen here in terms of, you know, they've lost, people aren't getting paid. Their players aren't getting paid. The staff has been all let go. That's why they had to have volunteers in the stadium to clean the stadium there. You know, you've screwed up the entire schedule by having to cancel all these games. And now, basically, I guess you just take them off the schedule for the year and you go forward from there. Does that mean that that's one more team's going to... There's only going to be two teams relegated next year?
I think that's what it is. Because you cannot... you cannot not promote a team from League 2, right? So you cannot have only two teams promoted. So, no, of course, there's going to be only two teams relegated. And I guess that's one of the reasons why there's more than 20 teams in the League 1 and in League 2, too, because it's always a possibility. But you never think it's going to happen. And we often talk about the Premier League and, of course, the Championship, too. But League 1 has a plethora of clubs with a lot of history. From the beginning of football in England, from the Plymouth Argyle to the Accrington Stanley. Accrington Stanley? What was that?
Milk.
Exactly. So it is, for me, fascinating to even look at like clubs like Plymouth Argyle, Preston North End, the clubs in League One and in the Championship and League Two. And you see like trends, like some of them go up, go down. Some of them never reach a Premier League sometime, but just the up and down of the lower league in England, it's fascinating. And you see ups and down, the ebb and flow of the money. Sometimes it's equated with result. But again, no one, like, I'm just putting myself into the shoes of a fan who's going to lose their team in 1 hour. And if I'm them, okay, at this point, when a club gets to this point, because not a lot of fans are left, unfortunately. But still, like, I lost my baseball team when I was a kid. You lost your hockey team when you were a little older, but it still feels like it's been ripped off from your childhood. It's not easy. It is a grief period. Okay, we're not talking about like, oh, there's more drama and more important, I would say, issues in the world. But in our world, in our soccer bubble, in our sports bubble, losing your club is a grief. It is losing a loved one. And I would equivalent to losing a pet, losing a member of your family. What are you going to do? What is a super fan of Bury, who's in his office right now, looking at all those memorabilia on the wall? How is he feeling today?
Yeah, losing a pet's a pretty good analogy in the sense that there are certain people in the world that just won't get it. They won't get the grief you're feeling. They won't understand why this is a big deal to you. But there are other people in this world that will absolutely get it and will be offended by the fact that someone else doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it's at. What I would say, and just to continue the thought I was making earlier, yes, technically they're going to lose the logo and the history and the name and all that sort of stuff. But as we've seen with Wimbledon, as we've seen with Rangers in Scotland, where that is not actually the same club as Glasgow Rangers have passed, right? It has been reformatted as a different club altogether that has now, you know, won its first three games and has a, you know, a Old Firm derby this weekend upcoming. That is a different Rangers, but really it isn't.
Exactly.
Because
it's the same stadium.
Not.
Well, yeah, it's true. So hopefully Bury finds a way to... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I do know. I have listened to the Bury Supporters Trust. The president of the Bury Supporters Trust did say that they have had for 2 years now. This tells you how bad this has been and how long this has been going on for 2 years now. They have had plans in place to almost immediately register for the Phoenix application. Now, look, it's a long way back when you're that far down. And we've seen other clubs drag, like we've seen Rangers drag themselves down from the very bottom of the Scottish division. But that is a club that even at it, you know, what happened there was a much different situation. It was just a mismanagement out of an epic prop, you know, epic level. And it wasn't necessarily about fan support, right? There's still fans there, but this is going to be a much longer battle.
Just to clarify, Rangers wasn't a lack of money. It was a mismanagement of money, embezzlement, and other people doing things that are not supposed to with the money, which led to that being the solution to rid themselves of what the infrastructural problem was with the money in Rangers. Now, when we look at Bury, it's a bit of a different situation where it's the lack of money, the lack of funds, the lack of ways to generate money in a way that banks and everyone else will be willing to give you the money in time. So there's a lot of, I would say, ultimate major flaws with this Bury, unfortunately, and that would lead to their demise today. But yeah, the Rangers, at least the fan base were there, and the Scotland laws are different than the ones in England. So it was a bit easier for Rangers to just continue and part of course versus Bury, who's going to have to change pretty much their identity.
Well, they're going to go down to like from the
conference.
Fourth tier to the well, what do you mean lower than that? They'll probably start in a local league. I'll have to look precisely like the eighth tier or so. I think they can get a little bit. Like, there's 11 tiers, I believe, in English German altogether. I don't think they start at the very, very, very bottom. But
I think they started the sixth, at least. Six or seven, like amateur Tuesdays or something.
Yeah.
Coming to a park near you, every Tuesday night during the adult league season, newly formed Bury FC will face off versus Joe Fresh and his friends.
Yeah, no, they start way down. It would be probably, I mean, their goal, I suspect, and I've heard this from the Supporters Trust individual, is that their goal is to get back to the Football League. They are never looking to get to the very top of the game, to the Premier League again. That is probably unrealistic for a team like that. Although we have seen communities of similar size, Burnley, for instance, get to the Premier League, but it is difficult for them to get much higher than that. It is difficult for that. And that's, look, one of the great faults, I think, right now, and what you'll hear a lot when you hear people in the UK talking about this, there's not a lot of protections to protect fans from owners that basically, you know, their eyes grow bigger than their stomach, is the saying in English anyway. So they tend to overspend to get to levels that their club can't sustain. And that's a very difficult thing for anyone to sort of do if you're a sports fan. Like, of course, like, think about when you play Football Manager, folks out there, like, you take over Bury or whoever and you go, yeah, I'm going to spend and I'm going to do all this, and that's a video game in this case, but you still end up getting in trouble, getting fired because you can't manage the budget. The thing is there, that doesn't happen. If you don't manage the budget properly, for the real club, ironically, is less, you know, there's less punishment to you as an individual than there would be in a video game. You're probably not going to get fired if you're overspending and buying players in to take this club to a level that it can't really sustain, that it doesn't really, it's not really a natural place for it. It's just, there's less punishment for you. And that's, I guess, what I heard also someone say when it was the Bury situation, is that it almost might be a blessing in disguise for them to Phoenix.
To change
if
the law.
Phoenix is, they're going to find their level, and the people that stick with them and support them are going to, this individual said, might even find that they end up enjoying it a bit more because it will feel a little bit more personal at that point. And I think if you talk to Wimbledon fans, you know, they have empowered themselves. They were the originals, really, in this. As I said, they stood up and said, you know, screw you. You're not taking our club. You can move it there. We're not going to acknowledge them. We're going to just start our own. And we are still the Dons. And, you know, it's the point that they're getting fined when they play each other for not putting Dons on the sign, or they were threatened with fined if they didn't publish the name MK Dons in the
yeah, both social media or anywhere.
The
game sheet?
The games, whatever, yeah. God, I can't think today. I can't word find today. At any rate, they were threatened with that, so they just didn't program. That's what I was looking for. Game day program. Okay, yeah. So they just didn't publish one the last time they played. I mean, it's petty, but it's hilarious.
Well, I agree, too.
I get it. The Hamilton OHL hockey team will never cease to exist in my mind for the same reason. So there you go.
Well, for me, I think, though, that there needs to be another way to look at this situation. I get it, an owner or an ownership group or anything else that are owning a team and financially losing the trust of their supporters, their fans, and eventually the club is in troubles like this. Yes, there should be ramification for the owner. There should be ramification for the team itself, too. You change league, you drop points, and stuff like that. But at least that social contract between that team and the community should not be at stake. What I'm saying is, the name, the record, the stadium, if the stadium is part of the ownership, those should all go back to the fans. The trust of the supporters' trust. And from then, okay, the club has dropped down. It's back in the Blue Conference East, whatever. And then at that point, the new supporters, or the new ownership group that take over the mantle. Okay, you might not be able to call the same name, but you can take the same logo. You change the name a little bit. You add a little asterisk there. You add an AFC, whatever the case may be. But at least that new project has some continuation with the records, with the fan being part of it, and you're not necessarily just building from nothing. And I think that's important, that people that are feeling slighted with the disappearance of their club can find a way to throw that energy, that sadness, that grief into a new project that will be able eventually to take over that spot in their heart that Bury had, or at least to equate it, to have the club be back to what it was supposed to be. So maybe that's a solution to, okay, you're an owner, you're dropped out of the championship, you're dropped out of the English Football League. The copyrights, the namesake of the stadium, the grounds, the training facility, the contracts with Admiral, their kit manufacturer, all those things go to the supporters' trust. And from then, it's yours, guys, to do what you think is best. At least the fans would not be held hostages, which they are right now. The fans are the only victims in this.
Well, yeah. For the players, too, they're not getting paid. But they'll bounce up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, look, my example, for those who don't know, is that I grew up in a small town in Ontario called Belleville. It was, you know, Pride and Joy was its OHL hockey team, which is, you know, in the Canadian context, if you don't know, junior hockey is a major, major, big, big deal. So the Belleville Bulls existed throughout my entire childhood into my adult years, were very successful. They punched above their weight. They made the national championship tournament twice for a town the size of Belleville. That's a pretty significant achievement. They won the OHL championship once, also a significant achievement for a market the size of Belleville. Anyway, long story short, an owner decided, you know, basically just to sell them without giving the city any opportunity to keep them. And just happened very quickly, and in about a month it happened, and suddenly this team was just pulled out from under me. And it was, like I said, it felt like a death. But what one thing Belleville did, the city, when they realized that this was happening without their control, they demanded that they were able to keep the logo and the history for theirs. And that was the one thing that the OHL did for them that they'd never done before, is they gave them their history and they gave them their logo. They kept that empowerment, and it made what was a terrible situation just a little more palatable, in the sense that if this team ever does return, that at least it can just pick off where it left off history wise, not just symbolically, but literally. And I struggle with the fact that clubs, the EFL, can't do this for communities. It's the least they can do, in my mind. It was the least the OHL could do. It's the least the EFL could do in this situation, is say, further of today, Bury Football Club, as it exists, needs to restructure from this division. But under this new ownership, this supporter trust ownership, it is allowed to keep its history and start afresh, wiped off. Yeah. I don't know why they feel the need to just wipe them out. Why? Why do they need to do that?
To sports punish. Not about, I think it's to punish. Yeah. I think it's the guillotine. It's like, okay, well, that's your punishment. You lose your identity. You lose what made you you for the last 130 years. And now you have to fight your way back there. You have to reconquer everything, the fans, and then everything else. And I think it's a bit too much. I think maybe it was the deterrent back then. But now, with financial state of some things in the world, it can happen out of the blue. And we're not talking about a League 2 team disappearing here. It's a League 1 team. Not even in the bottom of the English Football League. One tier up in that. So it's not a team that was struggling on the pitch over the last few years. Obviously, they were able to maintain themselves in League 1. So, yeah. So if it happens to one team, it happens to Bolton, Horn, the Premier League, not even 5 years from today. Exactly. It can happen to outside of the top 7 club of the Premier League. Could happen almost to anyone. Just need 2-3 years of bad luck. Look, Blackburn Rovers were in the Premier League in 2011, 2012, 2013. And they could be out of the Football League in a few years. Not because of expulsion, but just because of relegation. So things escalate quickly. And it's unfortunate when it's because of financial reason. And again, I want to reiterate to any Bury fans that could be listening or Bolton fans that could be listening. Hang in there. It might sound trivial. It's a tough day. It's a tough day.
No, absolutely. Just look quickly while you were looking. When Wimbledon restarted as a Phoenix club, it started in the Combined Counties League, which I'm just trying to figure out where that is in the pyramid. Just give me one moment. The Combined Counties League is levels 9 and 10 in the pyramid. So you start pretty much at the bottom. You started from the bottom, so to speak. So it'll be a long road back, but at least you'll have the power again if you take over, although we still do hope in the 33 minutes remaining that there is some kind of decision that goes favorably for them in this particular case. But there needs to be more protections to prevent this from happening. And it's not just, you know, we talk about financial fair play for the big clubs, and that's more about competitive balance.
It's about parity.
Something at the lower, the bigger issues at the lower levels, in my mind, because, you know, if city's ownership decides they're bored and pulls out tomorrow, well, that sucks for me and for city fans, but the club is not going to go away. They're just going to change, right? They're just going to have a new owner, and maybe they'll have a little less money, and maybe they'll, you know, have to battle for Champions League spots instead of battle for the top. And yeah, you know, it just changes as opposed to just oblivion.
And you have Thomas Cook Vacations back as your sponsor on your shirt and like little things like that.
Yeah, you know, and we adjust. But if the team just doesn't exist anymore, you don't have the chance to like decide whether you want to continue with them, you know, whether you're a glory hunter or not. And there's no glory hunting at Bury FC, right? You're just north of Manchester. You have better choices in terms of success right in your own backyard. So we wish them well, and we hope that this works out. We have doubts, but let's see. We'll watch it.
Yeah, I have more confidence for Bolton than for Bury, but we'll keep an eye on that situation, and we'll keep you appraised of the situation across our different shows that we do today and the next few days. Of course, we had a lot more things on the docket for today. We'll just quickly mention, and usually we just go through a couple results on Tuesdays, and we've talked about Serie A last week. We previewed it. Yes, Juventus is going to win. That's our preview of the city. Yeah, but there was a couple interesting game. Udinese having a good result at home versus Milan. But three big results. Two of them in England. Very big results, Dwayne. Spurs losing at home at the new White Hart Lane to Newcastle 1-0. And then Crystal Palace scoring a goal in extra time to beat Man United at home. That's not a bad result for Newcastle and for Crystal Palace.
The anti-Fergie time. I mean, this is, as I was listening to Football Ramble, they as they quite succinctly put it in their own unique way, we have to remember that Manchester United is not good. And what they meant by that is that they're not good in compared to their own history right now. And it is still difficult for a lot of us to wrap our head around the fact that Crystal Palace can punch them in the nose in extra time at Old Trafford. But that's what happened. That's, I think, indicated that battle for 4, 5, 6, 7 is going to be interesting this year in England. I think we've all seen pretty clear evidence that 1-2 are going to be where we think they are, and Spurs is not giving us any confidence that they're going to rise up. But the rest of it, I think it's wide open. And hell, if Spurs keeps losing like that, although they were dominant statistically in that game, but they just couldn't break them down. But
hey,
but
if they
can't find a way.
It doesn't matter if you win by a mile or by an inch. What matters is that the last of the three whistles, you're winning. And on the score sheet, it doesn't say, yeah, you won, but you only had 20% of the possession, so we're only going to give you 2 points instead of three. Nah. It's still 3 points. That's why I'm like, yeah, good job, Crystal Palace. You got the points there. Man United struggling. Tottenham, second time already that they stumble. Liverpool, 3-3. Man City stumble a bit. It's going to be a closer one, and I'm wearing my Chelsea shirt, which I will probably be doing most Tuesdays until my Bury kit comes in, because I just bought a Bury kit while you were talking, Dwayne. So when my Bury kit gets home, I'm going to be wearing it on Tuesdays, and I guess rest in peace. But yeah. Premier League is a bit more opened.
It is at least below the top two. I mean, obviously Spurs took points off City in a performance. Again, you'd only look at the points, not the how well it's... It is interesting to me, and I think that the drop down of the traditional teams like Chelsea and United over this year is going to make things a little more interesting. We'd all love to see an upset team in that fourth spot, unless you're supporting the team that would be there otherwise. So yeah, it is lots to watch, and Serie A was fun to watch this weekend. La Liga looks like it's going to be a three-team battle for sure. You look at Real Madrid, not exactly firing on any cylinders right now. Barcelona did bounce back with a pretty big win on the weekend. So there's that. Lots of fun across the board. We can't wait to watch more of this and talk more on Tuesdays. Yeah. But we won't always talk about.
I was gonna say when for some reason Tuesdays every Tuesday now it's been two Tuesdays in a row. I'm trying to say that five times quickly. Two Tuesdays in a row. That time is getting away from us. We don't even have time to talk about everything we want to from Europe because Europe is big. There's a lot of soccer. And we both thought that Barry and Bolton situation was worth it. Of course, if you want to have a little laugh, look for Schalke and VAR and 911. Interesting that people are calling police now to complain about robberies because of VAR. It's not a joke. It actually happened.
Yes, exactly. I feel like calling the police on VAR all the time, too, but I don't think they'd take me seriously if I did.
No. Well, they won't. They probably won't. On that note, Dwayne and I have a busy schedule today. It's a Return of the Five Rings podcast later on today, and the Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast as well. If you want to hear more about the Montreal Impact front office cleanup, make sure you follow us, Two Solid Dudes Podcast, at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Dwayne and I will also interview a great guest with Saskatchewan and Canadian Premier League in mind later today. But first, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kevin Laramie for myself, and at Soccer Today SBN for this show. Podcast versions available everywhere you get your podcast, and live videos every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. at Soccer Today SBN. And until next time, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.